Hello and welcome to the Lemonade Lifestyle Automotive Podcast. My name is John and joining me on this episode is Niall.
Hello.
Full stop. This is becoming a reoccurring thing.
Yeah.
That it's just a two-player game.
It is. Well, I was just saying on the Patreon, which if you're not signed up, you should be.
Why aren't you?
Why aren't you?
Firstly.
Yeah.
If you enjoy... Secondly, not good enough. Yeah. Sign up.
Thirdly, still, why aren't you?
Yeah.
As we said on the Patreon, it was just you and Bulge last time. Time before that, we had an extra one. So it's almost like what we give with one hand, we take with the other. Yeah. Special guest. Well, one of us ain't going to be here next time, motherfucker.
Special guest because...
one of us can't make it again. You never know. Next time might be all three of us. Be your turn to pull out morning.
We'll have to get. We'll have to just let Benny and Watch do an episode. Just those two.
Yeah. That'd either go really well or really boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless them both. Lord and Sales. How are you? Well, Canal. What was you going to say?
You?
Yeah, you. Satin Bell, you all right?
That's basically what I was going to say. So, how's things?
Yeah, good. You?
Yeah.
Yeah, you?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, I'm all right. You?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Bulge, save us.
Yeah.
We're stuck in this repetitive loop that you're fucking hate.
Yeah, I find repetition really funny. He finds repetition really annoying.
Yeah.
Which is why we get on so well.
And I just like to go along with whoever is being the annoyer.
Yeah, I've noticed.
So if Bulge is doing something that annoys you, I'll quite happily side on his side.
Yeah. You got to, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. The rules of friendship.
Yeah.
If someone's being annoyed, I'll help.
Yeah. To stir the pot, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, not help you out.
Yeah.
I'll help the bullying, mick taking.
Constructive criticism. That's what we'll call it.
We all have a bit of that.
So, yeah, Bulge this week is off gallivanting around Germany.
Yeah.
I think he's going to the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah. He's goose stomping. Yeah. Is that what they call it? Is what it
goose
is?
Stepping.
Goose stepping. Yeah. I should know, actually, being a.
Yeah, firm believer.
Yes, well, non-believer, depends how you want to look at it.
So Bulger's had a last-minute invitation to go to the Nürburgring.
Yeah, absolutely.
With one of our credited patrons and followers, subscribers, and friend. Mostly.
And parts deliverer.
That as well.
Yeah.
She's hooking Adam up a lot.
Mmm.
She's getting him spare parts.
Yep.
And taking him to Germany.
Yep.
And probably going to have to get him spare pants.
Well, because he's going to shit himself on the Nürburgring, you think?
Yeah.
Definitely that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else would it be?
I don't know. No. I don't know what you're insinuating.
Nothing. No comment.
No, no one's insinuating anything. If the listener's insinuating something. Did I actually say F again?
Yeah, properly. F.
Oh, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
So, yes, Bulge is, as I say, he is going around the Nürburgring, which obviously we wish them the best of luck with it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
And hope you have a fan-dabby-dozy time.
Because he's done the ring before with you, isn't he?
No.
Oh, did he not?
No, because he didn't come on the second trip. We did the ring on our second trip.
Oh, I see.
The first trip was all just alpine path. Oh, just.
Like it's boring. Ugh, again.
Fucking just have to drive over the Stelvio again.
Another mountain path. You're joking. Yeah, we're going on this amazing road. You're joking.
Not another one. I believe this is Bulge's first appearance at the ring.
Because you've, not the same ring, but you've done the ring, haven't you?
I've done both. Yes, I have, yeah.
Just the once?
Yes.
In?
The DCI.
DCI.
Yeah, the DCI McGann. woefully underpowered round there. Woefully underpowered.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's wide, isn't it, the track? You know, don't get me wrong, there's
Hey, which way were you going round? It's wide.
The car park. It's just, yeah. Well, it counts, doesn't it?
I mean, if you take a picture there, you've been there, you've done it.
I've got a mug that says Nürburgring.
Does it?
I've done it.
Does that? No, yeah. Have you actually?
Yeah.
It was a joke.
Or I did it. I don't know. Yeah.
Is it in German or English?
It is English.
Wow.
It's a black mug with green writing. It's quite nice.
Nice. I've never seen, I've not seen many of your mugs, actually.
No, it's because you never come to my house.
I was around your house last week.
You were.
On that note.
On that bombshell.
And people say that we're just winging it. That was all pre-planned, this whole mug talk, which puts us nicely over to the Rolling Road Day we had.
Exactly.
Before we do that, do you want to plug the Patreon? Because you do it better than I do.
Okay, I can do. So, as we said at the start, jokingly, this is the serious bit. All it's going to cost you to save an African boy's life, they want more than we do.
They do, actually, right? Yeah.
You know, if you want to send some bottles of water to Africa, cost you £5 a month, minimum. Mm,
minimum.
Minimum.
And they won't be grateful.
No, they won't even, they won't say thank you.
Nope.
Probably.
Probably. I mean, they may, but we don't
know. A bit off topic.
Yeah.
Right. £3.
Stop the racism.
Yeah. Implied. Never anything direct. Never. from as little as £3 a month, you could subscribe to our Patreon. Now, as I said in the last one, the money aspect of things isn't important. We don't see any of that money. It all goes back into the production of the podcast, which, as you can tell, it costs a lot. Niall.
Sorry.
You know, to produce a podcast this good,
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Was that you?
It was. Yeah. To produce a podcast this good where we...
Leave it alone.
Play
do
with
you know
our
what, right?
rubbish.
I said, you plug the Patreon because you do it better than I do. The fact that you're making such a hash of it and you're still doing better than what I would have done. I'd have said F and coughed and spurted my guts up and fucking shoveled.
Honest
a little
to God, if you could see the mic stands that we've got, it's laughable. All we're asking for is £3 a month.
Plus one.
Shh.
Sorry.
And on top of that, not only will it eventually buy us some decent mic stands that will stop us doing stupid things like this that you can all hear, etc., etc. The sooner you sign up, the sooner we can buy decent mic stands, right? And not only are you going to help with the production side of things, you are going to get access to our exclusive patron-only podcast, which is non-car related.
Mm-hmm.
This week's just gone. Little teaser for you.
Yeah.
For when you sign up. This week's just gone. We are effectively talking about true crime.
True crime.
We are discussing a hot topic in the news right now.
Yep.
No spoilers, Jay Slater.
Yep.
And that's as far as I'm going. And then it goes on from there.
Yep.
And I know it's unlike us to go on a tangent.
Yep.
But we did.
Well, we stuck with the theme.
Yes.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It was a tenuous link, is what it was.
Yep.
And on top of that you get access to our Discord.
There's over 40. You get access to the whole back catalogue. So you don't just sign up and it starts from there. You have access to over 40 Patreon episodes.
Madness.
Mad. Yeah, not the group.
No.
They're not there.
No.
There's no baggy trousers here.
And on top of that, you get access to our exclusive Discord.
Yep.
Which is a server full of other like-minded idiots, patrons, where we talk thoroughly about rubbish, mainly. But it is a damn good crack.
It is good crack. We talk about all sorts of things from movies, cars, motorsport. I mean, if you listen to this, you're into cars anyway. There's a lot of car talk on there. There's a lot of motorsport talk. Waj and myself, for example, and you, big F1 fans.
Yeah.
I'm also a massive touring car fan. We've got listeners on there, big touring car fans.
And then in the same breath, we've got one patron, particularly Dan, such a big Verstappen fan.
Massive.
Honestly, mm-hmm. If there's anything you need to know about Max Verstappen,
he's your man.
He's the man.
Yeah. Max, Super Max. Like, yeah. I've almost had to mute him with all the sort of Max fanboy stuff that's
crazy.
Going on in there.
It's he absolutely adores relentless. The ground he walks
And the thing
on.
Is, it's so frustrating because like, he can't see the other side. He can't say, you know, oh, you know, maybe he was in the wrong. As far as he can't do any wrong in his eyes. And it's just taking the... I mean, you know, if you want to join in with this sort of, you know, debatery. Is that a word?
Debauchery.
It's more like it.
Well, actually, with Dan, it is.
Oh, he's some boy mind, isn't
he? He is a crack, yeah.
Crackpot.
And there was something else I was going to mention as well. Patreon related.
Free stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get... depending on which tier you choose, regardless of which tier you choose, you will get some free shit.
Yes. Now, I wasn't here last time, and you and Bulge weren't too savvy with what's what and who's who.
Your job.
Who the who. Yeah. Three tiers. It's not so bad you'll cry, but there's three tiers of levels you can have. So, £3 is the lowest tier. You get access to everything still, but you get a free stickers.
Nice.
A free stickers. The second tier is £5. You get the same things again, but you get a air freshener.
Yes.
And then on the top tier, £10 a month, you get... key ring. Those two might be mixed up. Those are the tiers.
No, it would be that way.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
Because
you'd like to think it would be.
Well, key ring would last longer, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's my
But theory. Also, it's not just a key ring. I know not
oh, no,
I did
sorry.
Say. But you do get all of the stuff. So you get sticker kit,
yes,
air freshener,
sorry, yeah.
and a key ring.
Mm.
And when we do finally set it up, which we are genuinely in the process of doing, there will be a discount code for any future merch where you can buy our popular lanyards, our popular T-shirts, I'm just preempting how popular it's going to be, our popular hoodies.
Yeah.
You were going to sell some used underwear, weren't you?
I was, that's died off a little bit.
Right.
The interest in that has sort of dropped somewhat.
Quickly.
I think it might have been Bulge on a burner account pretending to be interested. that's died off now.
Pretending.
So he called himself Alan Burgess. It was a big giveaway who it was. Oh, God.
Alan Bulgeless.
Well, the thing is, we have talked a lot about merch, and it has been a very slow and frustrating process, not just for the listener who would like to buy some merch. It's been very slow and very frustrating on our part as well.
Yes.
Because we've just been met with just hassle. We've had issues with all sorts of things, from the logo to suppliers to pricing to fucking everything.
But it's also little things. Well, it's actually not little things, it's big things. Just design.
Yeah.
I understand, and I do genuinely understand this, that, you know, that they're not mind readers.
No.
But, and effectively, unless we do the design ourselves perfectly, it will not get done.
No.
And the problem is, we are not designers.
No.
Not at all.
Barely podcasters.
Well,
we've got a podcast.
Exactly.
I mean.
And we've got some mics.
Yeah.
Some shit stands.
Yeah, we could do some better ones.
And a pretty dangerous table.
But nearly broke my ankle once.
Did it?
Nearly. I don't like to talk about it.
No.
PTSD and all that. But no, it has been very slow and very, very difficult. We are basically the final hurdle now.
Yes.
I do have on order a t-shirt and a hoodie, which we're going to check the quality of. Because the thing is, we don't just want to sell you some shit either. That's the other thing.
No.
As we've had some sort of, what's the word? Prototype stuff sent to us that just hasn't been anywhere near good.
Samples.
Either the quality's been shit. The logo hasn't looked right, they've not done the logo right, or it's they've stretched it, or this and that and the other. I've been working extensively with a company to get it right, and I do feel like we're definitely the final hurdle. So not too long after you hear this episode, because 'tis a few days away, innit?
Yeah.
We should have a lot more of an idea what's going on.
Yeah. And I have just remembered the last thing I was going to say. Sign up to the Patreon today.
Yes.
Because you will get the whole of July.
Mm-hmm.
FOC.
Yes.
Right?
You are charged on the first of the month. So if you sign up today, which is Friday the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. You sign up today, Friday the 5th. You get the, like as John literally just said, you get the rest of July free. You're not charged until the 1st of August.
Exactly.
So you get all of that gratis for a month.
Yep.
What more can you ask for, really?
And you're supporting.
I was just about to say that was the next point. The next point is, it does. Not only does it help make this a better podcast for the listener, it also, the support means more than you'll ever know to us. And I don't know, it's sort of part of the inner circle, I suppose. Not that you're not in the inner circle if you're a listener, anyway. But come on, join in. Be part of the fun, be part of the. Because the thing is, people hear this every 2 weeks. But people are missing out on the Discord, which is a daily thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem is we're not great on social media, and social media is not the sort of best thing, but it's effectively a sort of chat room, sort of forum, sort of large group chat, if you will. Group chat with categories.
Yeah.
So and Bulge is in Germany at the minute, and he's posting up pictures from there, chucking it in the Discord for people to see.
Yeah.
It's not because we don't want to share it with the listener. It's just the fact that to post it all over, I mean, it's also out in the public domain, whereas it's a bit more private of what he's doing, where he is, and everything else. So,
and on top of that, he knows that the people he's posting it to are going to appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, rather than just scroll past it, they're not just going to scroll past it.
Yeah,
you know, and this is the other thing as well, is that it's a small community of very, very like-minded people.
Yeah,
and the fact of the matter is that okay, maybe if this is the first episode you've ever listened to. Perhaps you'll get to the end of this episode and go, I don't think I'm going to listen again.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Totally fair enough. But if you've listened fairly religiously for the last...
Fairly what?
Religiously.
Okay.
Fairly
religiously.
Yeah. If you've listened fairly religiously for the last 3.5 years, why the fuck aren't you in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're obviously an idiot like the rest of us.
Yeah.
So... Come along.
Come on in. And yeah, no, it is... excuse me. It is good. And the thing is as well, so far, we've organised
easy for you to say.
I get said that to me so much.
Do you?
I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
We set up the Wales road trip.
Yeah.
Which wasn't exclusive to patrons. It just... Because it's a discussion board as such... Things got said, things got organised,
the just ball snowballed.
Starts rolling, and before you know it, we're in Wales having a hoot of a time.
Exactly.
Anyone, within reason, was welcome to come, but it's almost like if you don't go to any social events, you're not going to get invited to any more social events.
No.
So go to the social event that is our Discord, I don't know. But we've done that, we've done the Rolling Road Day, which was predominantly, I mean, there's a few, not outsiders, but it was sort of put out to a few other people, and... Any other listener was welcome.
Pretty much exclusively Lemonade Lifestyle listeners that were there.
Yeah,
not just not just Patreons.
No.
There was a whole array of listeners that were there.
Ken, one. Sure, he listens, probably. No, he doesn't. Okay, let's move on. I didn't know, did I? It was a gamble. But the thing is, you hear, it's a good way to, not that anyone would want to communicate with us, but it's a good way to just keep in the loop.
Definitely.
With things, because like I said, if you're listening to this every 2 weeks, why would you just want to limit it to... I mean, unless we're that annoying that they only want to hear us every 2 weeks. It keeps the ball rolling. We discuss things that we have talked about on the podcast. People will throw in their tuppence worth.
Yeah.
You know, as we have with the Discord, we talked about the, you know, we'll give anything away, no spoilers, but the Jay Slater thing.
Mm.
And people say, oh, I've read this and da-da-da, good point on that, I never realised this. Like last time, you were talking about retro gaming. People commenting.
Oh, there was a huge discussion after that.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah.
Was there? Yep.
Yeah, there was... Oh, it went on for hours.
But, you know, people saying, you know, great episode, really enjoyed it, done a bit of gaming myself, this, that and the other, and it's just nice.
But, and the other thing as well is that it also is the little things like, we'll use that last week's Patreon as an example. The long and short of it is that Bulge and I discussed, like, our gaming background. Mm. And, you know, afterwards, you get people saying, I can't believe you didn't mention such and such. And I can't...
Well, like I did. Think, yeah. I can't believe Vice City did not get a look in.
No, I know.
I don't give a fuck what you said. I'll be honest with you. I played Vice City rigorously, or whatever it was you said wrong a minute ago. But I didn't really play 4 or San Andreas.
Oh.
I know. So to me, I thought the storyline in Vice City was so much, was not so much better, because I don't know, but I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mainly because it was based on Scarface, which was one of my favourite films at the time anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, for 20 minutes in.
10 of that has been telling you, sign up for the fucking Patreon.
Yeah, if you want to cut this shit out of these episodes, just sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
I think that's all they get of it, isn't it? But the other thing is, well, we discussed podcast-related things. So, let's, for example, the Lunyards and things. You know, that was sort of put out to people in the Discord because it's just easier to ping a message in and say, look, would anyone... Well, we put it out, and I think it was Lewis said, I'll have a Lunyard.
Yeah.
And then it snowballed, and a couple other people ordered a Lunyard, and now we offer a Lunyard.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Well, you're banging my watch against the table. Just fucking sign up.
Yeah.
Anyway, stuff like that.
Okay. Where were we going?
Rolling Road Day.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, as Niall started saying, we held a Rolling Road Day last week where we had 10 or 12 cars, was it, I think?
11.
Right in between.
Yeah, 11 including the photographer.
Yeah. So we had 11 cars. We all did it locally to us, admittedly.
Well, it made sense.
But, yeah. We did it locally to us and
a place called Power Crazy Motorsport.
Yarp. They are just outside Columpton, a little place called Kenspear.
I used to dunk as well then.
No.
I don't know why.
May or may not know it. Yeah, it's a very garagey garage.
Oh, well, I know what you're going
to
say.
Workshoppy garage. Yeah.
The toilet left a lot to be desired. But yes. But there's a working garage, mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, they were brilliant. You know, made it all very easy for us.
Yep.
You know, just
almost too easy. I felt a little bit like, should I be doing more?
Yeah.
Does he want me to do more? Should I be the, you know, the go between? Does he want us to do anything? No, he was absolutely spot on. Steve, he's called. Brilliant guy.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to them. Not that they're listening, but shout out anyway.
You never know.
And yeah, long and short of it is, a good day was had by all.
Yeah.
Your car did about what you were expecting?
Yeah. Between 220 and 240 was where I was going to be happy. 240 is what that engine should make with the mods I've done. Obviously, that's sort of give or take. One thing I will say, and I'm not making excuses, but the car probably wasn't in the best of health to be on a rolling road. There was a very slight exhaust blow because the company that done the engine conversion, I'm not going to name them because it's just unnecessary. Fantastic reputation in BMW circles. The engine work they do is unbelievable. They're sort of world leaders in it, genuinely. And they done the intake for me, the cold air intake thing, which is on the floor, basically, behind the bumper. And, well, not for me, for the guy who had the engine done. And the exhaust. But there's no flexi in the exhaust.
No.
So, basically...
Keeps cracking.
Keeps cracking on the welds. So there's a slight exhaust blow. The car was mapped, or is it chipped, isn't it? So I say, but people just say mapped, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'll just say mapped for now. The thing was mapped when I got it, so it had been remapped. I then fitted a larger intake manifold.
Yeah.
The remap hasn't been updated to suit. So it will, to a point...
Self-learn,
but only to a point. And also, I don't know if this would have made any difference, but I was running it on 95. Not anything special, not V power or momentum or whatever, anything.
Yeah.
Just genuine, just, you know, generic 95
LED replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. Some bloody E10
Red
in the
Star.
Boy. Red Star. And I think possibly if those things were sort of done as they maybe should have been, probably closer to where I should have been. But the fact is, the engine's healthy.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, which I knew anyway. Because I think you said to me, nervous? I was like, nope, couldn't give a rat's. And
no.
Because the ass dyno was correct, which is sort of basically, if you don't know how fast the car feels, it felt as fast as it should have been.
Yeah.
So it was the lower end of my expectations, but still within my expectations.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's reasons for it, either way.
Yeah.
Yours, happy with the number you got?
Yeah.
Higher?
Yeah, mine was a bit higher than I anticipated. I wanted 300 was what I wanted.
Yeah.
When it got mapped, I think it made 305.
Right.
So I thought anything around 300, I'd be pleased with, mm-hmm. and it was just shy of 320.
Yeah.
On Steve's rollers, which, yeah, I know there's going to be indiscrepancy between every rollers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's
what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but Steve did say that his words were, whoever's mapped the car has done a fucking brilliant job.
Yeah, because he said the line on the graph basically was...
You couldn't see the difference.
Bad hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, after the runs that he did, they were like on top of each other, the lines.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah. So yeah, obviously I was
happy,
very pleased with that. And then sort of icing on the cake, which genuinely this has never happened to me on a dyno day, but I was the most powerful car.
Yeah,
there.
You were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, I think.
Well,
to an extent.
To an extent, yeah. But at the same time, you know, this day and age, 320 horsepower is not a fucking great deal, is it?
Well,
if you know what I mean.
I'll be honest with you. And we will talk about Bulger's car, so remind me that we will talk about Bulger's car because things happen. Nothing crazy, nothing bad, but we'll get onto that. Mine made 220 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's a bit... In modern numbers...
Yeah.
Bit pants.
Yeah.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But, rare and driver scooters, it is a light car that, in my opinion, handles very, very well.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be that guy that says, cool, yeah, well, I'll have you in the corners. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not. It is one of those cars. I'll have you in the corners.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe. Hopefully. Maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I started to think, bit.
Is that all?
Yeah, is that all?
Yeah.
When I put that Instagram post up, I was a bit like, feels a bit wrong writing this. And I sort of thought, because I've always been against the idea of forced induction on that car.
Yeah.
I always have been with BMWs. I'm not a purist, but I like the characteristics of the engine. And also I like the reliability. One of the reasons why I do have that exact car is because the engine... apart from a bit of variable valve timing, is suck, squeeze, bang, blow.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Fuel goes in, air goes in, there's a big bang, the car moves. There's no wizardry. Even if you get the engine afterwards from the E46, there's some trickery that comes with it, which is a complete fucking waste of time, as we know, all this modern day trickery to keep the emissions down.
Yeah.
It's just, and I don't want to sound like an old fuck, but it's just something goes to go wrong, innit?
Yeah.
But it is. You know? Like... EGR deletes, DPF deletes, all of these deletes. There's nothing to delete off that engine, because if you delete something, it won't run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And gasket delete. Oh, wait, I've done that.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well. Coolant delete, completed. Yeah, so I didn't want to go down that route. And also, because there's nothing to go wrong, it just works.
Yeah.
Whereas you start adding a fuckload of pressure and force induction and hoses and clamps and intercoolers and all sorts of things, it's just... Again, it is something else to go wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going up until I blew a bloody boost hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the turbo's gone. You know what I mean? But when I saw 220, although I was happy, I did think, is that it?
Yeah.
Because, and especially the way stuff's going, I mean, everything's four-cylinder turbo these days. You know, Golf R's, Honda Civics. Honda Civics, they're like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? They're making 300 at the box.
Yeah.
And I'm making 220 with mods. Oh, lighter. But there's just brah, 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 pop into the distance while I'm like, I mean, I'm just thought, ugh.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm still happy with it.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, realistically, that kind of thing does come down to the driving experience, doesn't
it? Yeah, totally.
You know, and like a prime example where we've already discussed this car very briefly, that DCI of mine, yeah, okay, it was fucking woefully underpowered for the Nürburgring.
Yeah.
But actually, when we were doing the Alpine passes before that,
yeah,
it's another beast altogether.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so prime example for this, and if Wodge was here, he would say, yes, that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We did one of the passes it was somewhere just above St. Moritz. I don't think it was a Gotthard pass. I can't remember. Anyway, we'd done this pass.
Yep.
And when we were leaving, most of them were like, nah, I'm going to go steady. And I was like, why?
Boring.
Yeah. some fucking road's empty. And Wodge was like, oh, I'll go out in front then. And I was like, yeah, fine, I'll follow you, Wodge. And, you know, considering that car was like, I don't know, 160 horsepower.
Yeah.
On a good day.
Well, the DCI was?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, it'd be more than that. Because they're 175 out the box. So 200 then,
yeah,
tops.
Mm-hmm.
With a flash and dash on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, considering I was probably 200 to 215 horsepower shy of, yeah, Wodge's S4,
mm-hmm,
I was all over the back of him.
Yeah.
All over the back of, mm-hmm, him, you know. And Wodge was like, yeah, I couldn't have gone any faster than that.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there was a point where I was like, I've overcooked this. When I was chasing him, there was a little section and it was sort of quite straight.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite straight and Wodge went through the... Yeah, quite straight. Not that's some flare-ups in traffic. there's like a little kink. There was a little kink and Wodge was in front of me. And there was a car coming up the pass.
Yeah.
And Wodge had to slow down.
Mm.
And I knew that with the distance between myself and Wodge, I wouldn't have to slow down because I could straight line the little kink because, right, the car would have gone past me.
Mm-hmm.
So I straight lined the kink. And then we were coming to a like 170 degree hairpin.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm fucking right on the back of him now. And started braking and was like, oh, the back's gone very light here. I mean, I knew that I wasn't going to hit Wodge. I knew I wasn't going to hit Wodge, but there was a strong part of me that was like, hello, darkness, my old friend. But I did manage to keep hold of it. Yeah, I did manage to keep hold of it. But yeah, all the way down that pass, he was like, and we got to the bottom, he said, "Cool, that thing goes fucking well for a little diesel." Yeah. And yeah, I had two or three moments like that while we were in Europe doing the Alps, and yeah, where the little DCI excelled.
Yeah,
and this is the thing with yours is that, yeah, okay, on an A road, you're going to get outrun by most things.
Yeah,
just through the sheer power difference.
Yeah.
You know, and you've only got to look at our track day in the wet. Yeah, okay, I was being much more of a fairy than I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas the thing is that your car slides easier than mine, and on top of that, I've always said this: I can't slide a car. Not like, oh, he's done that well. It's more like, cool, well held. You know, when,
why can't you? Have you
just
had
lack of experience?
But you've had have you tried to intentionally slide something, or you've had a moment?
I've had plenty of moments,
right,
where it's not necessarily intentional, but it's not surprising if you catch my drift.
A bit like me on the track day.
Yeah,
they weren't intentional, but not exactly surprising.
You know, and but at the same time, I have also had plenty of points that were a surprise.
Yeah,
and I've managed to keep it pointing in the right direction, or not actually in the hedge.
Yeah, so, you haven't crashed it. Is all that matters. Yeah,
you know, that's the big thing there. You've only got to look at Coombe, where when you were following me or when I was following you, whichever way it was, there was this huge difference that kept opening up.
Yeah,
the power difference, mm-hmm, on my side.
Yeah,
and then the bravery difference on your side.
Yeah,
you know, where we're coming up through
Avon Rise
and whatever. You know, I'm gapping you by a long way.
Yeah,
up through there. But now it's obvious why I've got an extra 100 horsepower than you have.
Yeah.
But then by the time we get to Quarry, you're right on the back of me because you've gone through Avon Rise much quicker than I have.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just it with your car, is that, it might only have 220-ish horsepower, but it obviously is set up well, drives nicely.
Yeah, it's the right amount for the car.
Yeah.
A little bit more would be nice, but any more would be silly, especially with no weight over the rear axle. I mean, if I was sliding a lot with 220 horsepower, what would I do with 300 or even more than that, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem is, and not that it should make a difference, but we'll go, oh, you know, that's nice. What's he running, 250, 300? It's just a question they ask.
Yeah.
I mean, no one would, in their right mind, say, cool, does that thing handle like it's on rails? And I go, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? It's. I remember when I first got it, my mate Scott, I don't know if he listens, but if you do, Scott Grove, you know I'm talking about you. Yeah, because I've just said his name. He had a Bora at the time. You know, PD, mapped up, and, you know, intercooler and a straight pipe and freaking soot everywhere, one of them. And I sort of bumped into him and we went for a bit of a blast. And I knew he'd pinned it because I couldn't see where I was going. And, yeah, I sort of struggled to stick with him, really. And he was in a 1900 shitty old Bora.
Yeah.
I mean, he loved the thing. It was a nice car. But as far as I was concerned, I'm in a track car, man. I'm in a track car. And he was in, like, his daily beater.
Yeah.
And I was struggling to keep up. And I was like, well, this is embarrassing.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, but you know, on the track, I'll, you know, I'll run rings around you, boy. And it was a bit, but as we've just said, though, more power, but too much more power would be silly. It should be 240. You know, there's a couple other things I plan on doing anyway. There's that engine I plan on sort of building at some point, you know, so it's on the cards, but no, all good, really. I mean, I think I said a sort of day or two, I was like, 220 is not a lot. Mm. It's not a very big number, is it? But like you said, it's all about how it drives, about how it delivers the power, everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, we shall move on to Bulge's car.
Yeah.
He made more power than expected.
Yeah.
As far as he knew, it was bum basic stock.
Mm.
Stock and stock and stock, lock stock and two smoking barrels. He realised it wasn't on two points. One, when it read 220.
Yeah.
Which was 20 more, slightly over 20 more than it should have been. And when Steve told him, there's no rev limiter on this. Yeah. Yeah, so no rev limiter.
Yeah, so... So basically, Steve, when he'd done the run, he said, "Yeah, I sort of lifted off the throttle when the rev needle went off the gauge." And what was I'll say ironic with that is that we were obviously stood watching, and I was stood next to Wodge, and I said to Wodge, "Cool, that thing fucking revs, doesn't it?" You know, fully expecting it to go.
Yeah. Like the rest did.
Like the rest of them did. But no, his just kept going, went into VTEC, turned into an S2000 for a moment. And
K24. Is that what they had in it? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want. Don't know.
Don't know.
And he was happy with the power because famously, and he's never lived this down, was he put his Ford Focus ST170 Mark 1 Focus on the rolling road. And as they do, it made about 140 horsepower.
Yeah.
Which really pissed him off.
Yeah, royally.
Royally. And we've never let him live it down. Not that he would live it down anyway. Because even he goes, well, fucking hell, as long as it ain't like the ST was. Bah, bah. So the fact that he made more power than he was expecting was good. But straight away, he's like, oh, get that mapped out, get the rev limiter. And I was like, well, why?
Yeah.
Because you're never going to rev it that far because you know better.
You know it doesn't have a rev limiter.
Thing is, so... A, you know it doesn't have a rev limiter. And B, you know that it makes peak power at however many RPM, so anything past that is a waste of time anyway.
Yeah. So might as well change gear.
Yeah, exactly. So don't worry. But I don't think anyone's disappointed.
No, I think Pete was a bit miffed.
Well,
because he's read massively under the torque figure.
Yeah, but the power was as it should be.
Yeah.
But the torque was nowhere to be seen.
No.
And which made no sense, because like I said to him, because he was a bit deflated, and I was like, well, there's obviously something, there's an anomaly here somewhere.
Yeah.
Because if you've got one, you've got the other. I mean, unless it is a Honda engine, famously, you haven't got one or the other. But, you know, you should do. Because if you're not making the torque, you're not going to make the power with an engine like that.
No.
If there's a problem with the turbo or a fundamental problem with the engine, you wouldn't have made the power in the first place.
No.
But then it went back on the rollers and it made, I think it was still slightly under than
it should have. Yeah, I think
it was
still about 40 under, wasn't it?
Yeah, which was a lot better than like the 120 it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. Hang on. What else happened on the day? Anything else? Oh, tell you, we do have to give a honorary mention.
Okay.
Twice I tried it, twice I got it wrong. I'll go for a third one, shall I? Tell you who should get an honourable mention.
Yeah.
Yes. Is... Benny's mate, Billy.
Billy.
Yes. Not Josh. Billy, who has an E30 Touring, Bit different to the rest because it has a 5-cylinder turbo Volvo engine fitted.
Yeah.
Which, when he rocked up, thoroughly nice guy as well. Really nice guy. Good lad, yeah. I mean, the thing is, bearing in mind, he knew nobody but Benny.
Mm.
So very chatty with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, quite, yeah, really nice guy. And he said, because I wanted to go see the car, and he said, well, I wish I hadn't bothered, really. Mm. Should have just fitted an M52, which is what my engine is. Because as we know, that I make 220 horsepower, and I think his engine standard was like about 220, I think.
Yeah.
But he got into all the ass ache to fit an engine that had the same amount of power as, you know, something easy.
Yeah.
And he made 240.
Yeah, I think so.
And was Steve's car of the day.
Yes.
Bearing in mind, there was an E30 M3 with an E36 M3 engine fitted.
Yeah, but there I think Steve's seen that car a lot.
He's seen it enough. The fact that he's got a Power Crazy sticker on it tells me he has. There was your Porsche, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's just Porsche.
You say that, but it's very nice. Mm. If it was, I mean, to be fair, I see a lot of standard ones on the road and think, ooh, blimey. Yeah.
They're bland, aren't
they? Yeah, they're so bland.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to one, but that spoiler makes a big difference on yours. And the wheels.
And the splitter.
The splitter. In fact, it's yellow as well.
Yeah, and the black bits to complement it.
Mm, definitely. And you've had some engine work done, as we discussed. You know, but yeah, this Volvo powered E30.
Fautkugin.
Fautkude. I was struggling with on the day, wasn't I?
Yeah.
The words fault code. But no, thoroughly, thoroughly good day.
Yeah.
Really good day, actually.
Yeah.
The weather was, well, started off a bit pants, but not.
It was rubbish to start with.
It was a bit like
freezing.
Trying to rain, then it wouldn't, then sun, then cloud, and then everything. Sophie, my girlfriend, was there, and she was like, can I have my jumper, please? Can you hold my jumper, please?
Yeah.
Can I have my jumper, please? Can you hold my jumper, please? Like, all day. Because it was just like, the sun would come out, and it'd be hot, then it'd go behind a cloud.
Scorchy.
Cold.
Yeah.
barbecue at yours.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All a good bloody laugh.
Yeah.
We are potentially, I don't want to say too much at this stage, we are potentially looking at having a stand at the German Action Day at Castle Coombe in Wiltshire. Postcode is... don't know. Website is http www.castlecoombe.co.uk. Yeah, they host an action, quite a few action days nowadays.
Yes, they do, yeah.
6 or 7. They've got their own sort of, they've got spring action day, summer, and an autumn one.
Yeah.
Or Halloween.
Yeah.
Or they might even have both of those. Then they have sort of car specific days. So you've got JDM Coombe. Because isn't Japfest originally from Castle Coombe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's the impression I was always under. Then it basically outgrew Castle Coombe, and now it's at Silverstone, I believe.
Yeah.
So, but Castle Coombe was known for hosting a Japanese day, so they've got JDM Coombe now. They've got RS Coombe. There's a theme here.
Yeah.
Coombe. And they have a German Action Day.
Mm.
I have a BMW. You have a BMW and a Porsche. Both German. Benny has a BMW. Billy has a BMW. We know people with German cars, basically.
Yeah.
So we are hopefully going to be attending that. I put in an application for a stand, and they've not got back to me. But more than welcome to tag along. I'm going to be doing some track time. You're probably going to give it a miss, I see.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm veering a lot towards fuck that. But I know once I'm there, I'm just going to want to get on track, so I might as well just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, if I'm going to crash it, I'd rather do it because I'm just gone balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Not because some twat and Fiesta's driven into me.
Yeah.
If he tried to send it up the inside. What else? What was that thing you wanted to talk about?
Oh, the new M5.
Yeah. Talking of German stuff.
Yeah. So,
the new M5.
The newest model of M5 that is... I don't know if it's out yet. I think it's pre-release at the moment.
Yeah, they just released details on it.
But as just a tiny bit of background on it.
Information.
So 4.4 litre twin turbo V8
nice.
Hybrid.
Mm.
727 braking horses.
Fuck.
Many, many horsepowers.
That is many.
Yeah.
How, just, I know, sorry, I'm so sorry to interrupt like this.
That's right.
But at what point do you think we are going to see an out-the-box 1,000 horsepower car you can buy for not a lot of money. I know in America you can
like a sedan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a Hellcat, Phantom, Opera, Beast, the Vicar and everything else, Maitre D, that's 1,000 horsepower, isn't it?
Is it the
Demon or something? Or one of the crazy...
I might be wrong with this, but I thought the Demon was about 800.
I don't know.
Only.
Only 800, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's maybe 220 giving it a run for its money. But yeah. How long do you reckon it can... Seriously, cannot be long.
I think there's already the capability of it, like, comfortably.
Yeah.
Especially with the hybrid systems.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, these days you're seeing... I mean, especially on turbo stuff, you've always seen big sort of... I know you can get the F10 M5, which is a... I believe, probably not the same engine, but a, you know, similar setup of 4.4-litre V8 twin turbo.
Yeah.
I know that with a map and a bit of this and a bit of that, you'll see 700 horsepower.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah.
So if you can get it now... So basically what the hybrid done is replace all that sort of gubbins. But you do it again, you're talking 1,000 horsepower. But we can't be far away from a factory 1,000 horsepower car.
No. I don't think it'll be that far off at all.
No.
I guess the, I'll say, sticking point is where do they draw a line under necessity? Because, I mean, realistically, we've just had this little conversation about you having 220 horsepower, me having 320 horsepower, and the way it drives is actually more than enough. Triple that.
Yeah.
Triple mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, triple mine and some.
Yeah. Triple mine is 1,000 horsepower.
Well, yeah, as good as. Yeah. As near as makes no difference.
You know, that's a... If I had a car that was three times as fast as the Cayman, which, yes, okay, don't give me the, it's not how it works. I know that, but at the point some of these cars already are doing sub 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60s.
Yeah.
Out the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
Yeah.
How fast do you need to get to 60?
Well, this is it.
You know, don't get me wrong. You all know I'm a petrolhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fucking quality. And especially when you look at some of these real crazy fucking things.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, fair play.
Mm.
But there is always that side of me that is like, why though?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously me being a Porsche fanatic,
mm-hmm.
you see all of these like Gen 2 997 turbos that are modified with the ESS 1000 or 1200 kit.
Yeah.
And they make nearly 1200 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
I should...
Willy waving.
Where are you going to use it?
No, exactly. And I think actually what worries me, which I didn't really think about until we started to discuss this, is the fact of, like, if we're not careful, if these manufacturers aren't careful, they're going to start producing stuff that just isn't suitable for the general public.
No.
I mean, when I say to you M140i, what do you think of? Young people crashing them.
Yes.
And, all right, that's rear-wheel drive, but, what, they're 320 standard?
Yeah.
You'd see 400 very easily.
Oh, them. Yeah.
It was close to 400 very easily. And they're getting binned.
Mm.
Double that horsepower.
Yeah.
All right, four-wheel drive, but there's only so much that can do. It can't break the...
Oh.
I mean, go to an action day and watch a Subaru go around.
Yeah. Well, there's also that video that went viral on the internet a couple of weeks ago of matey in the GTR who stuffed it into the fucking lamppost.
That was running 800 horsepower, I think.
Four-wheel drive.
But I'm not being funny. Disclaimer... I'm not singing myself up to be the fucking best driver ever.
No.
I could have seen that crash coming a mile away.
Yeah.
I knew I was watching a crash video.
Yeah.
But he pinned it in the wet, kept on pinning it.
Yeah.
You could hear it break traction.
Yeah.
Zero steering input. You saw the car slide. Zero steering input.
Yeah.
Crash, bang, wallop, what a video.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I worry that there's going to be some sort of... you know, nannying involved, that And we've already got the gentleman's agreement of 155 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Before soon, there's going to be a gentleman's agreement that, all right, because it is getting silly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're getting hatchbacks of 300, over 300 horsepower out the factory.
Yeah.
In a hatchback.
Yeah.
All right, they're quite large now. But it's also, which I'm sure we're going to get onto, the fact that it's bigger just means it's heavier and more difficult to stop.
Yeah.
So the faster you go in, the harder it is to slow down from that sort of speed.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you see it all the time. And I know we have discussed this, and I think you might have mentioned it last time when I wasn't here. I don't know. But when you watch these Goodwood videos, we got the big yank tanks.
Mm.
And you got a Mini just nipping away at the heels.
Mm.
Because it doesn't weigh anything. It's just a momentum car. They don't even need to break into the corners.
No.
They're scrubbing the speed off by turning the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a big, heavy car with a lot of power. You're going to be doing... And also, you don't feel the speed either.
No.
I drove a... Is it an ML? The sort of SUV?
The Jeep thing. Mercedes, yeah. Jeep thing, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Not the G-Wagon, but no. It was an ML AMG. It was like gold on beige, or beige on gold. It was horrible. And I was very young, and I pinned it. Before I knew it, I was doing stupid speed.
Mm.
And I said I've driven an F80 M3. And I only realised how fast I was going when I compressed going up a hill. I thought, fucking hell, looked down to... 60 mile an hour, double it, Mexico. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking hell. And it's going to be talking about, you know, people are going to be doing 120, thinking they're doing 60, 70, yep. It feels like it. Oh, fuck, go to hit the brakes. They're trying to stop a 2-ton car.
Yeah.
From 120 mile an hour, and death will occur.
Yeah. Well, this was what I was about to get onto, not just the weight, but the other aspect of it, is how overkill are those brakes... going to have to be,
yeah,
for that M5,
yeah,
for what,
yeah,
because for your regular everyday drive,
mm-hmm,
you don't need those brakes.
No,
but you can't afford to not have them.
No.
On the day that you do go to the Autobahn, mm-hmm, and go, watch this, and, yeah, a lorry pulls out in front of you,
yeah,
you know, and it's all things like that that, I mean, it's just going to make the whole car unobtainable for,
mm-hmm,
what always was the M5 clientele,
yeah,
you know, where the car was, it was like a super saloon, really.
Yeah, yeah,
you
super
know,
car beater.
Yeah. But it was still a saloon,
yeah,
you know, and it was, you could still service the thing, and
yeah,
you could still do this and do that.
Mm.
And there was a video that I saw the other day of a brand new, well, the newest shape RS6,
yeah,
where matey was doing a brake pad change.
Sorry, what? Change?
Brake pad change.
All right, yeah,
and. The pads, and I'm not joking, the pads were bigger than the guy's face. Like,
really?
Huge. Absolutely huge. They were, this is not very good in audio.
Audio sizing.
Yeah, they were monsters.
Hell.
Absolutely. And he got, I can't remember what he said they were. I think it might have been like a Audi A3, just like A3 diesel,
yeah,
kind of thing. And he had a box of brake pads on the shelf,
mm-hmm,
and he could put all four brake pads with the backers and everything,
yeah,
inside of one of,
yeah,
the RS6 pads.
Ridiculous.
You know, it? And you just think, like, how much is that brake pad going to,
mm-hmm,
be? How much are the discs going to be?
Yeah.
How much is a caliper going to be? All of those things that in 15 years down the line,
mm,
you might need to replace one.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, how much?
Yeah. And I don't want to be the type of person who goes, oh, well, you know, it's better back in the day, blah, blah, blah. I never want to be that guy. But, and I'm talking about the stuff I know here, so, you know, excuse the fact it's about BMWs. But, you know, the E36 M3, not the Evo, the 3-litre one.
Yeah.
Shares the same gearbox with the 328.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of part sharing going on still. But, like, these days, it's not just, they're not part sharing as such. You know, they're sort of going above and beyond because they're making such silly horsepower. You said you have... unbelievable brakes on the off chance it's going to be driven quote unquote properly.
Yeah.
Because like you said, day to day, you're not going to need it.
Nope.
But you're going to need those brakes when you do decide to pin it or go to the Autobahn or go to Zandvoort, Peveril or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but you still want to drive. This is the problem, is these cars, especially the M5, especially the RS6, yeah, these sort of vehicles, as they are vehicles that you use day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, any M car, I mean, like I said, I'm talking BMW because that's what I know, but an M car has always been a car that you could drive to work, you could go to the shops,
mm,
but then fucking hell, when you needed to or wanted to, you got out of a car underneath you. But soon, it's just, I don't know, I think we get a bit lost with this numbers game that we seem to be playing. Because that's what it seems to be.
Yeah.
It really does. And this, and again, this is why 220 horsepower doesn't feel like it's a lot in the scheme of things, because it's not in the scheme of things these days. I mean, all right, this isn't speak for everything, but using Vauxhalls, for example, obviously you've got the C20 LET, the Z20 LET, it's the same engine, or not bad for an engine from the 80s, all that sort of jazz. But generically, that sort of Astra, GSI, VXR, whatever, was making around, you know, sort of 180, you know, 200, 220, 240. Oh, bloody hell. And now, because these engines aren't stretched either, they're not reliable either, but because they're not stretched, they just keep going and making more and more power, and it says, oh, they've released that with more power, so we need more power, because, like I said, no one says, well, does this thing handle like it's on rails? Well, how much power has it got? That's the top trump card that everyone wants, isn't it? So how do you beat that? More power. Is it drivable? Does it give you the same, you know?
Does it matter?
Yeah, who cares? I've got loads of power, mate. You know, and it's...
Yeah. And that's the only bits where it turns then, isn't it? Mm. Is that when you're talking something that's level pegging power-wise, or which is faster around the Nürburgring, then that card comes into it. But, yeah, so this M5 might as well be an X5. This car is going to weigh 2,450 kilograms.
Jeez.
And I'm going to give you a little list of cars that are lighter.
Oh, okay.
Than the new M5.
So in English or America, that's 2.5 tons, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
As near as makes no.
Yeah.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, because there's a difference, isn't there? Metric ton and imperial ton.
Is there?
Yeah. But anyway.
What's the difference?
A few kilos. I can't remember.
Even I know it's not much, is it?
No, I don't know.
The same with gallons, isn't it? There's metric gallons and imperial gallons, isn't there?
Well, no, because a gallon is an imperial measurement.
Oh, right.
And a gallon is 5.21 or 5.12.
I remember thinking it's 4 or 5 liters, basically.
It's just over 5 liters is what a proper gallon is.
Right.
Don't ask me why, because like in America they use the word quart.
Yeah, well, when you were when you said about gearbox oil, I googled what do I need, how much do I need. I've never seen the word quart so much in my fucking life. I'm like, just give it to me in English.
Yeah.
Why is no one changing their gearbox oil in England, but they are all in America? I don't know what a quart. What is a quart? Quarter of a gallon, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not American. All I know is that in Step Brothers. In Step Brothers, when they're rapping on the boat, he says, and every time I come, I produce a quart. And that's what he's talking about.
Right, Michael from South Carolina, or any other American listener.
Yeah.
We have a few. Got Kevin, hopefully, still.
Probably.
I believe he's a patron. Get on the Discord and tell us, you know, explain gallons to us.
Yeah, and quarts.
Quarts, yeah. I thought kilometres was American as well. But it's not, is it? Because they use miles. So who uses kilometres then? Europeans?
Mainly, yeah.
But we don't?
No.
Okay. It's just that meme, isn't it? It's just like, what the fuck's a kilometre? Have you seen that?
Don't know.
It's just anything that's American. It's just its voiceover. It goes, what the fuck's a kilometre? Especially if it's like, very American. Anyway, what is lighter than the new M5?
Another BMW.
Yeah. Two of them.
An X5.
Really?
Coming in at 2,220 kilos.
300 kilos.
225.
Jeez.
A fully electric, big car.
Go on.
Taycan Cross Turismo. So that's the shooting brake.
Yeah, yeah.
The big one.
And also electric cars famously...
Heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
2,355 kilos.
Jesus.
So 100 kilos lighter than an M5. This one is a Bentley Bentayga.
A Bentayga?
A Bentayga comes in at 2,415 kilos. 30 kilos lighter than the new M5. an Audi Q7 comes in at a staggering 330 kilos lighter.
What's a caravan weigh? I know it's a very generic question.
No, not much, caravans.
300 kilo?
Yeah, probably.
What, for a big one?
Yeah, I expect so.
So you could get an Audi Q7.
And a caravan.
And a caravan.
Yeah.
And you'd still weigh less than a new M5.
A Land Rover Defender 110.
The new one, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I went in Benny's the other day.
Comes in.
They ain't made enough.
No. 2,436 kilos.
Christ.
So still 10 kilos less.
Now, bearing in mind, they are large SUV vehicles, and this is supposed to be a sleek saloon.
Yeah. A Cayenne Hybrid. So another big SUV, but yeah, with a friggin' hybrid.
Yeah.
And that...
It's got to be close, surely.
2,295.
No, really?
So still 150 kilos.
Fuck me.
And then this one, you might not know what it is. A Dodge Durango. So it's the Dodge equivalent SUV.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah,
and
I've
they're
seen,
fuck ugly.
Yeah, I've seen them.
But they're huge.
Yeah.
2,401 kilos. 45 kilos.
When an American SUV is heavier than
it's
a
probably
saloon.
A fucking 19-seater as well, yeah, knowing them. A fully kitted, converted Volkswagen Transporter California with pop-up roof, awnings,
rock and
swivel
roll
seats, etc., etc.,
yeah,
out the factory, 2,315 kilos.
Christ.
130 kilos difference. And then the final one, another ridiculous heavyweight.
Yeah.
A Tesla Model X.
Comes Model in X?
That's the big SUV.
Yeah.
One. 2,352 kilos.
100 kilos less.
100 kilos, just shy.
Fucking hell.
She's a big old girl.
So, I mean, that's a lot of car to stop at 100 and many.
With 730 horsepower. It's just...
Yeah.
The mind...
I mean, I'm sorry, because I'm just shaking my head and shit and putting faces. And I realise that this isn't very good and audible.
No.
Inaudible. But I'm just genuinely so shocked. And I think, when I was younger and I was in like modified cars and stuff, and everyone always said on the forums, if you're doing more power, upgrade your brakes. And I just have this theory, right? Now, this might be a bit similar to my theory of, well, when you're running out of fuel,
yeah,
is it better?
Go fastly. Yeah.
That wasn't actually on that. Did you know that? I was talking about something totally different.
Oh, well...
But it stuck with that anyway. But yeah, is it better to go fasterly, get further, but run out of fuel, but then coast more? Or are you better to go slow, conserve fuel, not get as far, not be going as fast to be able to coast afterwards? Which I got laughed at the park, which I still think is a genuine question.
I don't think there's much in it, really and truthfully.
I don't think there is, but I thought there might be some sort of scientific research behind it that maybe your bulge knew about. I can't remember. Oh, yeah.
It's got to be something to do with drag coefficiency, really, that, hasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think I play a big part. Depends on the... I mean, I was normally in a transit van when I was running out of fuel.
Yeah.
Not famously, you know, very sort of drag coherent or whatever the word was.
Coherent, yeah. You're the only coherent drag queen I know.
So, yeah. Surely... Stopping, if you're accelerating in a car, wah, bah, bah, like that, yeah, car noises, and you get to 70 as you're accelerating hard, or if you're in a car that's slow and you're to 70, surely stopping at 70 is stopping at 70, regardless of how quickly you are. I mean, you're probably carrying more momentum if you're in a faster car. Because you're accelerating
if
harder,
aren't you? If you're
accelerating
hard to 70,
yeah,
then yes, there will be that moment of inertia that needs to switch.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing a steady cruise...
True.
I would imagine then, yes, you would... If you had the same car with the same brakes and everything,
yeah,
I would imagine you would stop faster if you were...
Well, I imagine if you had a
cruising
car
at 70 and then banged on the brakes.
Yeah, of course.
I think you would stop in a shorter distance. I feel like you would.
Just because of inertia, really.
Rather
surely.
Than if you went from zero to 70, and as soon as you reach 70, but under hard acceleration.
Like, let's just say you keep your foot mashed on on a throttle pedal, but the car is electronically going to apply the brake pedal and cut the throttle the second it hits 70.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, because of inertia and things. You never know.
No.
We don't know. We're not scientists.
I mean, I'm sure... you say never know. I'm sure there's plenty of research.
Somebody out there does
know.
We'll never know. We'll read the research and still not know.
Yeah. It'd be like Rob sending us the graphs. Of...
Oh, yeah, yeah, cool.
Tumbleweeds.
Oh, he was breaking here and going there, and I was like... Yeah, yeah. That's like some of an irregular heartbeat to me.
Yeah. Is there an earthquake as well? Is that what I'm getting?
What's that on the Richter scale? I don't know.
Oh, the bottom was a Geiger counter. Is that right? I don't know.
Fucking Blair's was haunted. Oh, no, that's radiation Geiger counter.
But I think they do also use it for...
Oh, do they?
Yeah, for picking up...
ghosts and shit.
Ghosts.
Do you know Benny's favourite Patreon episode ever done is episode one, where we talked about ghost stories? Did I tell you that?
All right.
I don't know why. I think you said that your story was fucking hilarious about a horse involved, wasn't there, or something?
A horse? Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a horse. What was it, a dog or something?
Well, both.
A dog and a horse?
I don't know.
Well, the dog was yours, a horse was a ghost. That sounds like it.
Yeah, basically.
Well, sign up to the Bledder Patreon. Listen to the first episode.
I think I'm going to have to, because I can't even remember what I said now.
Made it up. That's
it's all lies. Just like the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We never speed. Yeah, but just, trying to stop a 2.5-ton car, effectively. By the time you put a driver in it and some fuel, that'll be, because that's going to be dry, surely.
I would have thought.
I think that's normally how they do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think, take 100 litres, that's another 100 kilo, isn't it?
Easy.
Well, apparently that's what it weighs, isn't it, liquid? Well, water.
I don't know if gasoline weighs the same as water.
Yeah. I was watching a video the other day, and people in the comments couldn't understand. They were trying to work out why gas, petrol, is called gas when it's a liquid. And the whole time I was reading these comments, like, it's gasoline. It's short for gasoline. People are like, oh, well, I think when it touches the air and this and it, the vapour and this. I was like, it's short for gasoline.
Yeah.
It is short for gasoline.
Ask Daddy Yankee. Yeah.
Whoop, nana gasolina.
Nana gasolina. Nana canta la gasolina.
No idea what they're saying, but we're fluent now, apparently. Yeah. Everybody's just offended a load of Mexicans.
Yeah. Or other.
Or whatever they were. We don't care. They're not listening. Well, Bulge isn't here, so we have to fill in.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He's not offending German people, I think, at the minute. With his frown line.
Yeah. Did you say frown line? Or...
Oh, that was good. Oh, that hurt my stomach. That might have been a kebab I just had, though.
Yeah, it might have been.
What else? Well, we're over the hour mark.
Oh. Let's better do a bit of the old bloody...
Which means it's time.
Formula One.
Fair. Oh, that one, yeah. Formula One corner, Max.
Super Max. Yeah, so we've got double header that us can talk about in us.
Yep, didn't see the last one, the one before.
I don't even remember where it was.
There you go, see?
Spain.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I don't think there was actually that much to report.
The only thing I do remember
Jorge
being...
Russell put in hell of a move. Got to admit that. Got to hand it to him.
The only thing,
off the line.
The only thing I did see, which was of notable mention, was I know Carlos Sainz and Chuck Leclerc.
Yeah. Chucky boy.
Oh, yeah, the Chuckster. Chuckster O'Reilly. I think he put a... put a bit of a daring move in front of the home crowd. And fuck you, punk bitch. You're going to regret getting rid of me.
Yeah.
Ferrari. That's all I really remember. I didn't see the race, so can't really comment too much on that. So well done for bringing that up. Austria. Unless you're still on Spain.
We don't have to be. I was going to say old Jorge did put in a good move off the start.
Did he?
Yeah, I think went everyone.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. He put in a real a real, real brave. Because I don't remember, was Norris in P1? Or was he P2?
Yes. Norris was got pole.
Yeah.
And he should have... I know he was very disappointed because he felt like it was a race he should have won. If I'm thinking of the right race. So let's quickly Google it while you're trying to
Now I'm racking my brain because actually I've got a feeling...
F1...
I'm questioning myself now because actually wasn't it Jorge Russell that actually put it on pole?
Don't call it that.
Why?
Because it makes me laugh.
I got a feeling that actually he put it on pole because it was him and Verstappen who...
Well, Jorge finished in fourth. I know that much.
Yeah, but they had a
that's
joint
weird.
Time,
Logan
didn't
Sargent
they?
Sargent was last.
Really?
This could have been a good bloody wrestle, don't reckon.
That's strange for him, isn't it?
Odd, mate. Really odd. Race.
I got a feeling that actually they started... Because they had the same time. Like, to the...
That's right. I don't know if it was Jorge. Let me find... Where's the fucking qualifying?
It was... I'm sure it was Jorge and Verstappen, actually. That started pit. Which race am I thinking of? Where Jorge went round the outside. Round the outside. Or like was it Jorge? Trailer.
Hang on.
No, it was Norris.
Yeah, well done. I spent all this time trying to find it, and then just as I found it, you went, oh no, it was Lando.
Yeah, Lando put in hell of a move.
Norris beats Verstappen to pole in thrilling Spanish GP qualifying session. Where did Jorge come then? Jorge? No one had the
Where
same.
Was this one then?
No one had the same time though. Ham and Jorge had, they were 0.002.
There was a race. We're both, this is audible Googling.
Audible Googling. So you get some more patrons, we can have like a producer who sits in the corner and does all this shit for us so we look professional. And then when one of us has to leave the room, they can talk to us. Say Jorge again.
Jorge.
Was it Canada?
George Russell and Max Verstappen share exact same qualifying time. Where? Yada, yada, yada.
Where? But where? F1.
Oh, that qualifying for the Canadian,
oh, it was Canadian.
Grand Prix. Grand Prix.
Right, okay.
So, then I was correct, Amanda.
First time in 1999, top three drivers had exactly the same time. That was Michael Schumacher...
I got it as 1997.
Sorry, it is 97. The drivers were Schumacher.
Yep.
Gilles.
Yep.
Oh, no, it was Gilles. That's his old man, wasn't it?
I'm just saying yes, because I don't know.
Villeneuve.
Yep.
Jacques.
Yeah.
And...
Jorge.
No, Jorge.
Carlos Sainz Sr.
Nope, he was a rally driver. Heinz Harald Frentzen.
Oh, yeah, good old Heinz.
Loved him, very underrated driver.
Yeah.
German fella. That's why I like him so much.
Anyway, back on to España. Just very quickly, I will just say that it must have been that race.
So what did Jorge do?
Norris and Verstappen was scrapping.
Yep.
And Lewis was under pressure from
Logan Sargent.
from Carlos Sainz Sr.
Oh yeah, might as well.
Over the microphone. Get out of my son's seat. And Jorge went from P4 to P1 in one genuinely
really?
Fantastic
okay.
move.
I could look into that.
Didn't last.
Well, obviously
it
not
did
that.
A lap. And then...
It came over all Mercedes.
Yeah, GP then said to Max, this might be your best time, Max. Think carefully.
Yeah.
And he just went... Okay, yeah, around the outside.
Okay. Did you know... I don't know if this is a fact, but I did read it somewhere, which means as far as I'm concerned, it's fact. Bono isn't going with...
I did hear this in our ever-popular Discord.
Oh, really? Maybe that's where I read it then. He's not going... Or maybe I said it in the Discord, I don't know. Bono's not going to Ferrari with Hamilton. Hamill bitch.
Surprising, that.
Because they've been together for a while, haven't
they? Yeah. And they seem to have a good relationship as well, don't they?
Yeah, well, they won a Fair Food Championship together.
Yeah.
Season we got the best car. Yeah. Isn't it funny? Isn't it brilliant? I know it's going on for a few years now, but isn't it brilliant how Lewis fans are going, oh, he's winning because he's got the best car?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's ever won it in the worst car, though, have they? I don't know whether people are surprised. 50 years of this championship's been running.
Yeah.
No one's won it in the worst car.
No.
I mean, Damon Hill nearly won a race in one of the worst cars on the grid. But
yeah,
the fact is, it was just a race and he didn't. So
yeah.
Oh, it's annoying. The best driver won again.
It's like the 2022 season, though, isn't it? You know, where in Bahrain, qualifying, out of nowhere, both Haas cars well in the top 10.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, Haas have done the best. No.
No. No.
On to race day, 15th, 16th. Good.
Yeah, four retirements.
Yeah. Two cars, four retirements. They've retired for their next race already.
So, well, they've done really well in Austria as well.
Yes, they did, actually, yeah. Credit where it is due.
They had the best race since Austria 2022. So, the hot topic of Austria.
Yeah.
Just quickly, the reason I say it like that is because of Dumb and Dumber. I nearly said, have you seen Dumb and Dumber? Of course you've seen Dumb and Dumber. Right at the start
Let's
of the film.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie. Let's not.
I think he said, where are you from? Canada? I don't know. He says something. She goes, Austria. Good day, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not.
That's when he tries to pull his head back through the window and it's like, undo the window.
Oh, then clambers back into the driver's seat, doesn't he? Pretending he was in the back of the limo. Oh. Anyway, other 90s comedies are available.
Fucking good.
He's unbelievably good.
She said they're really anal, though. Ew,
I didn't realise. In that film, obviously, he checks the briefcase to find out what her last name is. She's called Mary Swanson in the film.
Yeah.
He was like, Swanson, I can't remember. And he goes, check the briefcase. What was he called again? Lloyd Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's like, check the briefcase, Lloyd. He's like, oh, and he checks the briefcase. He goes, Samsonite. I knew it began with an S. And I didn't realise Samsonite was a real company until I was walking around Clark's Village, saw a Samsonite shop. I was like, oh my fucking God. And I took a picture and sent it to my dad. He was like, yeah, I know. I was like, just me then. Anyway, this isn't talking about Formula 1,
no,
is it?
No, it's not, no.
Famously.
So Austria.
Talking points. We just jump straight to that?
Cause yeah, I think so.
I don't think much else really happened in the race.
No, not massively.
Even if it did, it was overshadowed by
what happened.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously
happened.
There was the Piastri-Leclerc bump at the start.
Yeah.
And just tumbled Leclerc back.
It just fucked his race, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That must be so frustrating.
Yeah.
But because you only get one race as well. It's not like in touring car where there's three races. Or
no.
You get one shot, one opportunity.
To see everything you ever wanted in life. One moment. And you can either capture it.
Yeah.
Or let it slip.
Let it slip, that was it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure his knees were weak and his arms were heavy.
There wasn't an awful lot else that happened, really, other than... I thought it was very good tactics from McLaren by pitting at the same time, knowing that because of the way the pit is laid out, if you're top of the points, you're first in the pit stop.
Yeah.
So obviously, as Verstappen is about to leave the box, Norris comes trundling through, always going to slow him down.
Mm.
So the first time they released Max, and I think it was okay because Norris was about to stop anyway, but obviously they've all got to get on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, he launched down in front of me. Oh, unsafe release. Ah, 5 second penalty. Blah, 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 blah. Everything you can to try and...
Yeah, I know. It's probably one of the worst things they've done for Formula 1 is open up the access to the radio.
Yeah.
Fucking whinge on.
Yeah.
It's like children. But old Norris was up there again.
Yeah.
Putting a fair old fight to, what's he called, Max?
Yeah.
And well, everyone knows they touched, made contact.
Yeah.
Giving them both a puncher.
Yeah.
And damage to Norris's front wing.
Yes.
Because they were attempting to change it when he said retire the car.
Yeah.
So there's a few points to be made. First of all, one thing I do want to say, I mean, it has to be said. Now, I'm very impartial when it comes to Formula One. I dislike Hamilton. I'll hold my hands up to that, but I've never argued that he's a good driver. I do really like Lando Norris.
Yeah, I
genuinely.
Do. Yeah,
I did really like Jorge.
Yeah, Williams. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But he's unbearable now, isn't he? Oh, I can't stand him. I just can't stand him. There's a bit in the cool down room where they were showing the battle between Verstappen and Norris, and he went in that sort of like Tory voice he's got, you know, kind of face that looks like he's about to shut down the hospital, and he just goes, "Cool battle though."
Yeah.
But shut up.
Yeah.
But I do like Norris.
Yes.
But I'm also not blinded by the fact that just because I like Norris, I'm totally... Jesus Christ almighty, that's one of the biggest dreams I've done in a long time. Yeah. His driving in a... I wouldn't say a desperate attempt, but in desperation to get past him, was very track-limity. He was...
Yes.
I think if he hadn't have made contact, he either wouldn't have... made the pass stick without track limits.
No.
Or he would have been penalised for track limits.
Yeah.
One thing... So we have to... I'm assuming you agree with that? You
yeah,
saw 100%. That it was very
I was going to make the same point.
Okay, cool. But one thing I didn't like, which I thought was completely unfair, which me and Wodge were discussing in the Discord, so sign up for Patreon from £3 a month, like that, was that he was immediately given a 5-second penalty. Norris was.
Yeah.
Which I assume... which could only have been for track limits.
Yes.
But the conclusion is Max was at fault. Max squeezed him, blah, blah, blah. So why was he given a...
He was given a penalty from the lap previous.
Ah, okay.
Where he didn't make the corner.
When he ran out wide.
When he ran out wide, because he'd already had black and white flag.
Yeah.
He had black and white flag, I think, 2 laps previous,
mm-hmm.
which is, if you cross track limits again...
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble.
Bite.
And
right.
I think the issue, from what I can see, is that it wasn't like borderline.
Yeah.
The whole car was outside the corner.
Because didn't he pass him and then give the position back?
No. This was another talking point, was
right.
that Verstappen forced him off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And no, because that was even the lap previous-er to that, I think that was like lap 60, where Norris came up the inside,
yeah,
and Max just literally failed to yield and
yeah.
was like, fuck no,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to run wide, and then kept position. He ran way wide, kept position, and actually gained a little bit of an advantage.
Right.
So he did lift off to close the gap up when they went down into turn 4, 5, whatever it is.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
And then, obviously, it sort of went on from there, and then Norris got black and white flagged.
Yeah.
And even though the way it looked on the TV was that they had a crash.
Yeah.
And Norris got a penalty straight away.
Yeah.
The penalty was pending from
right.
the investigation of black and white flag previous, and then the next lap, him running right off the track,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously track limits.
Yeah.
So they gave him a 5-second penalty, but it just so happened that effectively when it was announced...
Was at the same time
or milliseconds after
okay.
after there'd been a collision.
Right, okay. That makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah.
See, that's why we discuss these things.
It is.
Because I would have been bleating on, he would have given a 5-second penalty. So where do you read that to? Or do you just know...
If you look in the, if you go on the F1 website,
yeah,
it gives you all the stewards reports.
Oh, okay, and right, okay.
Because it does say that lap 63, it says on there lap 63.
Because it was 64
three,
it happened, wasn't it?
Yeah, turn 3, track limits, after black and white flag.
Right.
5-second penalty issued.
Okay, that makes sense. What other points is there to take? Because that was one of them.
Yeah.
Any other points you can think of?
Well,
we need to discuss Max's defending
style. This is what I was about to say. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed with it. I'm the same as you. I'm not a Verstappen fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather Verstappen won over Hamilton.
Yep.
However, even that I'm swayed on now that it's not just this repetitive, monotonous
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep building, guys. Keep going, guys. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Together we rise, whatever the fuck it is that you used to say. Because there's not that side of things,
mm-hmm.
that you now see this side of Hamilton that's like, I don't know what to do. You know, if you catch my drift, he's got this. He's got this real, like, not desperation about him, but this, like, I'll say humbling, where it's everything I've asked for in the car mm-hmm. has been ignored.
Yeah,
nothing has been angled towards me and my driving style,
mm-hmm.
and I can't communicate with the car like I used to be able to. And
the problem is, I say problem, but this isn't just because he's going to Ferrari.
No.
Because he's, as far as Formula One terms go, he's getting on a bit, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's late 30s.
Yeah, he must be.
Yeah, 38, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
About that, give or take. So they knew that he was never... Basically, what's happened is they've put all their energy... Not all of their energy, but as they do, the young drivers come along.
Yes.
Jorge. Any excuse to say his name. And they put their energy into him because he is the long-term project now.
Yeah.
He was dilly-dallying about, I might retire. Might not. All right, Mercedes, I'll sign for a year. What he's really done, and this isn't me being anti-Hamilton, what he's really done there by dangling this carrot of, I might retire, though. I'll give you a year, though.
Yeah.
It didn't matter when he had fucking Bottas in the seat doing nothing.
No.
Rosberg in the seat doing nearly something, and then something, and then retiring.
Yeah.
But, like, now they've got Jorge in, who has proven himself.
Yeah.
The most nervous I've ever been, just to show how much I dislike him compared to how I used to love him. The most nervous I've ever been for an F1 race was when Jorge stepped in for Hamilton when he had COVID.
Yeah.
I was genuinely nervous. I just, for the life of me, wanted him to do so well. You desperately
wanted him to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was so gutted when it didn't.
Yeah.
You know? Now I can give a fuck. He only won two races as well. This is his second victory. I mean, that car's been a dud for the last few years, admittedly.
Yeah.
but he is their future, and that's just a natural progression. That always happens. That's happened at Red Bull when...
Danny Rick.
When Ricardo came along.
Yeah. Sebastian Vettel. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. And then he left.
Yeah.
To go to Ferrari. Yeah. Didn't win anything. It's a pattern here. and it must be frustrating. And the thing is, it's easy to dislike the guys winning all the time.
Yeah.
Especially when it's... I don't like seeing domination morning.
Mm.
I like to see sort of records being... I remember watching Schumacher, I was thinking, I'm watching history in the making here. The people have been talking about this for years, and I'm watching it happen. And it's the same with Verstappen. It's complete domination.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, though, he's going to win the championship, isn't he?
Yeah.
The thing is, it's in his blood to race as hard as he can.
Yes.
Like, you know, Senna said back in the day, second is the first of the losers, you know? So he will fight to the very end over that first position.
Yeah.
I didn't need to.
But I was just really disappointed with the way that it happened, because the way I look at it is there's still seven at the point they crashed, let alone the three laps prior to that.
Yeah.
But there's still seven laps to go.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you prove yourself? You clearly can't defend against him mm-hmm. without moving when you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And Norris is completely right with saying he's doing stuff that you're not allowed to do.
Because there's two rules. You're not allowed to move under braking. Is that right? And you're also not allowed to move twice.
Yeah,
or is it just the twice rule?
No, so you can pick your line to defend, and that should be it.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the straights, you're not supposed to weave excessively.
Yeah.
So it's classed as, you know, that's a grey area. What's excessive?
Well, I was always under the impression that you could. So that, I mean, this isn't going to work in audio. Audible hand signs. So, two cars on at the car overtaking moves out to overtake.
Yeah.
You can move to defend.
Yeah.
But then if they switch sides back, you have to stick with your line.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah, pretty much. But then it's also, that's also governed by the the racing line. So if effectively with what you're saying, if you're like what's happened, it's a right-hand corner. Yeah, okay, it's a hairpin, so that's made it a little more complicated because obviously the braking zone is bigger, etc. But it's a right-hand corner. You have defended on the inside, on the right of the track.
Yeah.
Because the natural racing line is to start left and then
so the
turn
argument
right.
Is I was going to the racing line, not defending.
You can head towards the racing line.
Right.
But then it's the grey area as where the car is beside you.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that realistically, Max has approached that corner, middle of the track.
Yeah.
He's looked in his right mirror. Lando's there.
Yeah.
He's gone to the inside to defend. Looked in his right mirror. Lando is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he going to be?
Top of five.
He's going to be left.
Yeah.
Right? So, well, just left. No right. He's going to be left. Okay? At that point, there's no argument there. You can move slightly towards the middle of the track.
Yeah.
Leaving enough space, because that's the other thing. There has to be sufficient space left.
Yeah.
But at that point, and this is the bit that where I sort of, it's fantastic being an armchair Formula One driver that I am. But at that point, well, Max, you're going to make the corner. You know you're going to make the corner. You're also on the inside line. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing stopping you making that corner and effectively closing the door on the exit.
Yep.
Safely, or, you know, safely in air quotes.
Yeah.
They should, I don't know if they did, but they should have, in my opinion, GP should have told Max that Lando's got black and white flag.
Yeah.
Right? Because at that point, Norris knows I can't afford to run wide here.
No.
You know, because I'm going to get 5 second penalty and then this whole fight is pointless.
Yeah.
Effectively, I might as well just stick behind Max.
Yeah.
But the upshot of that as well is that even if Norris had got past him, well, Max then gets the benefit of the three DRS zones throughout the circuit. Prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Prove that you can pass him.
Yeah.
And don't give me all this bollocks over the radio and whatever. Oh, he can't dive. He's dive bombing. Mm-hmm. This is not how you overtake. You. He's not doing it safely, etc., etc. Well, fucking show him how to do it then.
Yeah.
You know, and...
But he was, wasn't he struggling for grip?
Yes.
Verstappen?
Yeah.
So he obviously didn't have the confidence in the car.
No. And obviously the difficulty was is that the second pit stop, Max went out on scrub tyres, whereas Lando had brand new mediums. So he had that...
advantage.
He had that advantage. But like I say, in my opinion, GP should have told Max, Lando's on black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at that point, even if Lando gets passed, as long as you can hustle the fucker along,
all you got to do
is try and force him into a track limit situation.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
5 second penalty,
dirty tactics,
just stick with him.
But if
funny, but but you say dirty tactics. I mean, it's no different than what Piastri did to Hamilton.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. It's just playing the game, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he's just crossed the white line on the way in. Well, did it affect your race? No. Still, 5 second penalty.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, this is the other thing is, I discussed this one about the touring car and stuff, about this whole track limit thing.
Mm.
It's been a thing now for a few years, and I get it. I think it's just killing racing, personally. Because I think it's almost like a slightly different analogy, but like, in sports, allow them to use steroids because they're all using it. It's fine. It's not fair. It's difficult to control it because some people are, some people aren't, some people this, some people that. Like, I used it as an example earlier on. It sticks out of my head because I'm a massive Damon Hill fan, massive. He nearly won at the Hungaroring in '97, right? And he, and when Jacques Villeneuve overtook him, because he had a problem with his throttle, he overtook him on the grass.
Yeah.
Almost four wheels. Past him. Back then, I mean, a different era totally.
Yes.
But there was no such thing as track limits.
No.
But the problem is, I say problem, but they either had grass or gravel.
Yes.
Which they don't have anymore.
No.
I mean, someone tweeted or commented on Instagram that I saw, oh, the way to fix these bloody track limits is concrete wall. I thought, we've got Monaco. We don't need any more of that nonsense. No. There's no track limits at Monaco.
No.
None. But I just think it's really take. It's like, I mean, I know you're not a football fan, but it's like VAR.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just completely taking the fun out of the game.
Yeah.
And I think
when, like with VAR, you see an offside and it's like a fucking toenail.
Well, there was literally in one of the Euros games, I don't know which one it was, because I don't care, but it was literally a toe.
Yeah.
It was, and I mean millimetres. Yeah. Ah, Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Just takes the fun out of the game.
Yeah.
And I think track limits are taking the fun out of racing.
To an extent, I'll agree with you.
Well, I mean, the reason I bring this up is Piastri had his lap disallowed in qualifying.
Yeah.
And thus relegated him to 7th.
Yeah.
But he came 2nd in the race.
Yeah.
Behind Jorge. Yeah. Now, had his lap not been... I mean, I know if, buts, maybes, if blah. If
scrap merchants.
That one. Yeah. Pots and pans and merchants of scrap, right? He probably could have won the race.
Yeah.
And have you seen the photo of him being over the track limits?
Yeah, it's...
He's kicking up
about
3 stones of gravel.
Yeah.
I think it should be, like, a whole tyre over the line. But then again, it's not always grass, though, is it? This is the issue. Is it sometimes it is... But either way, it should be a sizable amount.
Yeah. But then this is the issue as well, isn't it? Is the fact that it's the MotoGP riders that make it so that you can't have... so much gravel and
Oh, is it then,
grass.
Is it?
But basically, because it is fucking unsafe on a motorbike.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you go into a gravel trap in a Formula One car, what are you doing in the gravel? You know?
Yeah.
The problem is if you go into a gravel trap on a MotoGP bike, RIP.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
or broken limbs if you're really lucky.
Yeah. And obviously the Red Bull Ring is probably one of the worst tracks for it, that final corner.
Yeah. Yes.
Was it turn 14, I think? Whatever it is. The final corner has always been one of the worst for it.
Right.
For track limits, where they obviously trying to go around that corner as fast as physically possible.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the MotoGP riders do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But their track limits are totally different because you can be the entire bike over the white line.
Yeah.
But as long as you're not past the green bit. Well, obviously, because if I was on the green bit, I was going to be on the wet green bit, which is the grass, and then I'm probably not going to be in one piece.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of a wee moment in a Formula One car is dropping a motorbike in it. That's
yes.
the difference.
Yeah. And that was one of the big arguments, because obviously there were so many people, I think it might have been the 2022 races, I think.
Mm.
It was COVID, because we ended up having like 3 races there, didn't we, at the Red Bull Ring?
Yeah.
For some, where they because of the COVID stuff,
well, we've had
I don't know what the hell it was.
But, all different names, but the same track.
Yeah, and there was obviously all this discussion about what they could do, and obviously everybody was suggesting put a gravel trap there, and it stopped people doing it. But the big argument was the amount of MotoGP races that, or you know, motorbike races that are there. It makes it unsafe.
I never thought of that. I thought it was just purely because it flips the cars. But not thinking, obviously, if you flip a car, it's fine. Not... You flip a bike, you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're not necessarily fine if you flip a car. They're not particularly designed to be that way up, but...
No.
No,
they're not, famously, I think. Gives away their secrets
but,
as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you do have you do probably stand a better chance. But, yeah, I don't know. It's...
Well, Abu Dhabi hasn't got any... runoff, is
no.
it? It's all black.
Yeah. Yeah.
What wasn't in 21? little snort there.
Yeah. So I kind of agree with you, but I'm also inclined to say do it the other way.
And what's the other way?
Track limits is track limits. If you're a fucking quarter of a tire over.
Well, that's kind of how they're ruling it now, isn't it?
Yeah, but when I say quarter of a tyre, I mean the outside tyre or the inside tyre. Do you know what I mean? So you race in between those two white lines. Yeah. There's no going over either side.
It's like parking a car.
Yeah.
You get it in the lines,
you know,
or nothing.
Whereas obviously track limits is as long as some of your car is still on the track, that classes as track limit. Well, do it the other way.
Well,
none of your car can be either side of that white line.
I honestly think, even like you said, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other, it's either, or you know, you can get one tire out. If it's a full tires width, you're out. But it's either you're inside the line, or track limits don't exist. Do you know what I mean? See if I can get up. I'm trying to cut this out, but it's not working, is it? Who's this?
I don't know, but we need to wrap this on.
That could be ignored. We didn't wrap this up. Hour and 40 we are. I suppose his name, Piastri. I'm going to get it wrong. Track limits. Let me see if I can find a picture. There it is. Okay. That's kind of fair enough, actually. Now I've looked at it properly. I mean, you look at it...
Because it was on the pit line, wasn't it? Rather than...
Well, I saw that. That's the part of the picture I was looking at.
Oh, right.
And I thought, well, that's hardly fucking off the track, is it?
Yeah.
And I didn't actually look at the other side. Which is off the track, isn't
it? Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. You should go... I mean, whether or not with the Formula One, you put the white line the other side of the rumble strips.
Yeah.
But then that is it. And it doesn't matter if you're a fucking millimetre or whatever.
Well, it should be track, curb, line. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's it.
That outside wheel...
has to be within
the white line. I totally get, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that took a turn.
Did.
Yeah. Let's wrap it on the head.
Yeah.
Wrap it on the head. Let's wrap it up and knock it on the head.
Yeah.
All at the same
time. Let's knock it on the wrap.
Yeah. Well, like that one we had earlier.
Yeah.
John, so you're going to make that jump, boy? No, don't. Sign up to our Patreon. You've got 20 minutes worth of reasons why. If you still haven't signed up after that, fuck you. Don't want you as a listener anyway. If you do want to buy... Punk bitch. Keep an eye on our website because we do have some stuff on there at the minute.
I can't remember. What's the website URL again?
I can't remember. I think it's https://www.lemonadelifestyle.co.uk/merch/other/patreon/bulge.
You ain't going to make that. Patreon boy.
/ you can have any colour. Anyway. Go to our website, www.lemonadelifestyle.co.uk. There's currently some lanyards, couple of key rings, air freshener for your car, sticker kits, all the rest of it. Over the next sort of few weeks, it is going to get compressed down. We are going to be offering t-shirts and hoodies. I haven't seen the hoodies, but I've been involved in the hoodies, and I'm genuinely very excited to see it when it arrives. It should be very soon. Thank you so much for listening. John, say good night.
Good night.
John, say good morning.
Good morning.
John, say good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Say bye.
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 Bye.